Hi guys, welcome to episode 4 of my Little Saves podcast on personal finance. Hope you guys are doing good. I'm doing good, thank you. So today I'm going to be talking a lot about inflation. What is inflation all about? Why it sucks, or maybe it may not, why it may be a good thing for you if you're an investor. And how you can plan your investments better, keeping inflation in your mind. Right, and right at the end of the episode, I've also got a very inspirational message from Warren Buffett on investments and managing money. Right, so let's get into the show. What is inflation? Inflation is a concept in economics that measures the purchasing power of your money over a period of time. So to paint a beautiful picture in your mind about the idea of inflation, think about this, right? 50 years back, your grandfather might have been able to buy a plot of land for 2,000 rupees. Today, you would need 2,000 rupees just to take your family out for lunch, maybe even more than 2,000 rupees. So as you can see, the value of goods, products, etc. have drastically risen up. What costed 2,000 rupees 50 years back is probably 20 lakhs or 40 lakhs, whatever, depending upon the area, right? So the value of all of this has gone up over a period of time, and that is what we talk about when we say inflation. So to put it into literature, what it basically says is that inflation says that as time goes by, the value of goods will either increase or decrease. So if it decreases, it'll be called deflation ideally. So value of goods will increase or decrease, and it can be because of demand or cost, taxes, supply of money, etc., etc. And in most countries, there is an increase, and this increase in the cost of goods, which results in lower purchasing power of your money, is called inflation. Let me give you a relatable example to make this very, very, very clear to you. Okay, so let's say you invest 1 lakh rupees in a fixed deposit. And for argument's sake, or at least to make it easy on the math, let's say you are generating 12% interest per annum from that fixed deposit. And that 12% per annum works out to be 1% per month. So for 1 lakh, you basically get 100 rupees per month. Right, and now, let's say you're getting 100 rupees per month, and with that 100 rupees, you can, as of today, that is 2020, you can buy 1 liter of milk, that's going to be about 50 rupees. You can buy 3 eggs, that's going to be about 15 rupees, and a loaf of bread for 35 rupees. Together, you will get all of these three things for 100 rupees. And the rate of inflation in India currently is at 5% per annum. So 2 years from now, milk is going to be costing 55 rupees. It was 50 rupees in 2020. In 2022, ideally, it will be 55 rupees. 3 eggs will be 16 rupees 50 paise. A loaf of bread, which was 35 in 2020, is going to be 35 in 2020 is going to be 38 rupees and 50 paise in 2022. So, 2 years from now, you will need 110 rupees to buy the same items you are buying today for 100 rupees. However, the fixed deposit interest which you are earning will continue to be 8% or 12%, and it will continue to give you 100 rupees. So 2 years from now, you will still get 100 rupees, but you actually need 110 rupees. Now you see why it is important when you're investing to calculate inflation and factor it into your investments. Because if you do not do this, and if you make a grand plan of retirement or a grand plan of investments, etc., in the future, inflation will blindside you basically. And if you had X amount of rupee in your mind to retire in the future, it's going to be really bad because inflation would have eaten up a lot of that value. Okay, so now, does that mean inflation is a really bad thing? No, it's not. So as an investor, it actually depends upon what you have invested in and how you structured your investments, right? So let's say you have an all cash investment, right? Where everything is in cash, ULIPs, and pension funds, etc. So all of these are definitely going to be impacted by inflation. So in that case, it's definitely bad news for you in the long run. But if you have commodities or real estate properties for that matter, inflation is actually a good thing for you because the property value is going to be increasing over a period of time because of inflation. If you have gold, the value of gold is going to be increasing over a period of time because of inflation. So, you know, let me give you a third example just to get into this concept a little more and show you how inflation really impacts investments, right? So, let's take two guys. Let's say there is Ram and there is Shyam. Both of them are saving. Both of them are saving money and both of them wish to retire today. Let's say that they have saved up 50 lakhs and they wish to retire today in 2020. So, both of them retire. Now, Ram has saved up 50 lakhs, put it into a fixed deposit account, and he's quite happy because he's getting 8% interest, and in a monthly basis, that works up to be about 33,000 rupees per month. So he is sustaining his expenses within the 33,000 rupees every month. Shyam, on the other hand, has bought a property, a two-floor building. He's staying on one floor. He's rented the other floor out, and he's getting 15,000 rupees as the rent from the first floor he's rented out. So he is living within that 15,000 rupees and he is sustaining himself from that. So now Ram and Shyam both retire in 2020. Let's assume both of them are not earning anything else. They are only sustaining from this 50 lakhs rupees they are retired with. And just to reiterate, Ram has put that into a fixed deposit. Shyam has bought a house. Now let's fast forward 10 years from now. Okay, so 10 years from now, Ram has 50 lakhs rupees in the bank as fixed deposit. Shyam has a property. Both of them are getting income from these two sources. Ram is still getting 33,000 rupees per month. However, the cost of living has gone up so much that 33,000 rupees, whatever he used to buy in 2020 for 33,000 rupees, as of 10 years later, he's only able to buy for 20,000 rupees. So the value of that money has actually come down because of inflation. 5%, 5% over the 10 years. Now that 33,000 rupees is only able to get him about 20,000 rupees worth of goods. Similarly, the fixed deposit which he put for 50 lakhs, that 50 lakh money's value now is only worth about 30 lakhs. So over a period of time, that money has basically eroded. And 10 years later, he's only able to utilize. So if he is to buy something, he can only buy, the value of that is about 30 lakhs. That's it. So 50 lakhs has become 30 lakhs. On the other hand, Shyam, who was smart enough to buy a property, over a period of time, right? Every year, his rent is increasing with inflation. So what he was getting as 15,000 as rent at that point of time is now about 25,000. 10 years later. And similarly, the value of the property is also increased due to inflation. So the property which he bought for 50 lakhs at that point of time is currently worth 80 lakhs. And that is not even assuming that there is any development in the neighborhood, etc., etc. So you can see the two big differences, right? And this is why it is very important to balance your portfolio in such a way that you have commodities and properties and real estate as well in your portfolio of investments so that you're not really stuck and in a very bad place because of your value of your funds getting eroded due to inflation. Let's move on. Now, why does this happen? Why do the price of things go down? Why is inflation even happening? Right, so there are three main reasons that inflation does happen. One, the most important one is the supply of cash, and it's very important. So this is where the government has a big hand to play in it. In countries like India, the RBI, the reserve banks usually regulate and monitor this very well. I should say very well though. So as of now, the reserve bank is doing a pretty good job. Right, so let's say the supply of cash increases, the government all of a sudden decides to print out a lot of money, and that money is obviously getting into the people's hand, right? The government will use it for expenses, etc. That means people will be having a lot more money in their hands. Ultimately, what that would lead to is now that people have a lot more money, they are more willing to pay for goods. What they would have ideally paid 100 rupees for, now they will be willing to pay even more. Even if a seller increases that 100 rupee good to 150, they are going to pay for it because they need the goods, right? And the sellers obviously know that they have more money, so they will hike the price up. and the supply of cash will lead to more spending and increase in the prices, which ideally gets to inflation. The other ways inflation can happen is by the demand and supply of goods. So if the demand of a product increases, then that also means that the price goes up, because the sellers obviously know that, you know, the product is in demand, which means they can ask for a higher price. Similarly, deflation can happen when the supply increases. So let's say that, you know, all of a sudden tomorrow, I find out a way to 3D print bread, which means I can start printing out bread using flour and a 3D printer, and I can mass produce it, and I can make hundreds of thousands of loaves of bread every day. That means there's a hell of a lot of supply, and it's pretty cheap for me to manufacture it. So a loaf of bread that's currently costing 35 rupees, the value of that will go right down, I don't know, 10 rupees, 12 rupees, basically, because there's a lot of supply and I need to start selling it in order to get my money back, right? So that also leads to deflation. Couple of examples on inflation. There are some drastic examples. Like, let me tell you about, say, Zimbabwe, where it costs you $1 million in their local currency to get a cup of coffee. So they are in a situation called hyperinflation, where you need to pay $1 million in their local currency just to get a cup of coffee. And there are instances where people like don't respect the Zimbabwean currency at all because it's lost value. Outsiders, countries outside, don't even like to barter or trade in that currency. Right. So that's one example, current example. One of the other examples I can think of in the past is during post-war Germany. I'm not sure if you've seen pictures, but there are some really, really capturing images that show people who are pushing money in trolleys and push carts just to buy groceries for the week. And huge stacks of money, because the government at that time printed out so much money and just literally shoved it into people. So the value of products became really high. And there was one particular example I was reading in a book where they used to say that in post-war Germany, if you go for lunch or dinner, the price of the products or price of the meal would actually change in between. So when you start eating, let's say a plate of lasagna is about 30 rupees when you started eating, by the time you finish eating, it's going to be 40 rupees. So someone would be standing on a table shouting at the price of food items while you are eating. That is how bad inflation was in that country at that point of time. They've done a pretty good job right now. Okay, so now let's come to the very big question for today, right? How does inflation affect your investments, and what should you do about it? So like I said earlier, inflation would basically mean that if you have a lot of cash investments, in the future, the value of your cash is going to buy lesser and lesser products as inflation grows. So that is why it is all going to be tying back to you and for you to make wise decisions when you think about how you want to structure your portfolio. So for those of you who are planning for retirement or even just looking at investing for a long term, this is very important. Okay, so just to reiterate, let's say you go for an all cash portfolio like the earlier example I gave of Ram. It need not be just fixed deposits. So it could be fixed deposits. It could be bonds which you bought that are not tied to inflation. It could be your pension funds, your PF and VPF, etc. Because all of them give you a fixed sum of money, right? 8%, 7%, 12%, whatever it is. It's a very fixed sum. So today they're giving you 12% for the next 20 years, which means what they're giving you as 12% today is tomorrow is going to be 7%, because 5% is taken away by inflation. And another year later, it's going to be another 6.5%, right? Because it's a compounding thing. So 5%, what is 5% from that year and the next year, right? So it keeps compounding up. The value of whatever you're getting back from your pension fund account or your PF, VPF, PPF, whatever it is, it's all going to be coming down because of inflation. So now let's see, what are some good ways for you to save in order to safeguard your investments from the negative effects of inflation? There are a couple of asset classes you can take into your portfolio that will basically prevent erosion of your wealth because of inflation, right? So let's see a couple of them. One, first and foremost, the shiny gold. As the price of things keep going up, gold also goes up. Okay, another thing is real estate. So in real estate, you could be it could be commercial property or a residential property. And when you buy a residential or a commercial property, the value of the property also keeps going up with inflation, right? Because what inflation basically is that a price of goods go up, which means people are also going to be spending a lot more money. And your property also, when you're planning to sell it sometime in the future, people will be willing to give you a lot more money for it, which is why properties will also increase with inflation. And not just properties, but the rent or revenue you generate from the property also will increase. So if you are renting it out, or if you have some kind of returns from that property one way or the other, that also will increase with inflation. If you are renting or giving a property for rent, you will know that all of them have a clause usually that ranges from 3 to 10% every year. The rent keeps increasing, right? So that's nothing but it's actually inflation that they are factoring into the rent. Okay, so we've looked at gold, we've looked at real estate. Then there are a couple of other options such as commodities. So if you are into commodities, that is, and you feel like holding on to goods, then yeah, they will also get that benefit. And another very great option is stocks, because stocks will also keep rising up with inflation. Or maybe not the price of the stocks, but the dividends you get from the stocks will definitely raise up. So let's take an example of that, right? Let's say ITC is a company and you have stocks, and every year ITC pays you 100 rupees. Now, as the price of goods keep going up, the money ITC charges on this goods they sell will also go up, which means the share of the profits they are going to be sharing with the investors will also increase. I mean, the percentage will be the same. So every year, if they're giving 1%, that 1% will still be the same, because they're taking in more revenue due to the inflation cost. They will be giving you more money, so you will also be getting dividends which are higher in nature. So apart from gold, properties, commodities, stocks and dividend giving stocks are a great option for you to hedge against inflation. Right, so I've spent quite a bit of time explaining what inflation is, given you a couple of examples of inflation, and also given you a couple of ideas on how you can balance your portfolio out so that you are not negatively impacted by inflation. Now, coming to that beautiful quote from Warren Buffett I was talking about. In one of his interviews, Warren Buffett makes a very powerful and resonating statement I just so love. What he says is, the stock market is designed to transfer money from the active to the patient. So to repeat, according to Mr. Buffett, the stock market transfers money from those who are active to those who are patient. This is such an important piece of advice to consider during the current times, don't you think? I mean, we are all stuck at home, mostly due to the COVID crisis. The phone is by your side. You're constantly monitoring your portfolio. You're constantly thinking which shares to buy, which shares to sell, etc. You're so active, and you are quite at risk of making a lot of mistakes and losing a lot of money, right? So if you start day or intraday trading just because you have more time on your hands, and what Mr. Buffett means is that someone who is very active in the stock market and trying to make it big time in the stock market is bound to end up losing a lot of money. And all that money is going to most likely flow to someone who systematically bought an investment and held on to it for a long time patiently. Think about it, right? So that's it for today, guys. Have a really good day. Ta-ta till I see you next time.